is a life-changing message by the Reverend Sam Crunchy Ankara.
So, when Jesus in Matthew chapter number 16 asked the disciples, so you guys, and I wanted to know that around this time when Jesus was having this discourse with the disciples, he had been working with them for a number of years, probably 2 years, and was left with them just about 1 year more when he was going to be crucified and he was going to be gone. And then he says, so you guys, after this long walk with me, what do you say that I am, and what do others also say that I am? What do they say that I am, and what do you also say, and what do you also think that I am? They said, well, the others said that you are just one of those prophets to come, and we know, we have just quoted from the other book where they say he's just another prophet. Some said that you are John the Baptist to come. Some said you are this. Some say you are that. Some say you are that. He said, fine, thank God for the opinion of the world. But you also who walk with me, what do you think? What do you say? Who do you say that I am? And then when one of them, Peter, shot his hand and said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Quickly, Jesus Christ's response was amazing. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal this one to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Upon this revelation, I will build therefore my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. Now, you will notice that in Jesus' life on this earth, at every tint of his life, anyone he met, he wanted the person to catch a glimpse of who he was. The woman at the Samaria woman at the well, for example, when Jesus asked, give me some water to drink, he said, why do you Jewish man ask me, Samaritan woman, some water to drink? What do you even have to fetch this water? And then Jesus Christ would respond and say, if you knew the one who was asking you for this water, you would give it to me, because when I in turn decide to give you water, I will give you living water, the one that when you drink, you will never thirst again. And said, if you knew who was talking to you, Jesus Christ wanted the woman to know who he was. Finally, when Jesus Christ began to reveal himself, the woman said, you are talking like the prophet that was prophesied we should be expecting. You are talking like the Messiah that we should be expecting to come. You are talking like, you know, and then he says, Jesus then said, yes, I am the one you are talking to. The Messiah, the one to come. And then this woman will run into town and say, hey, come and look at the man who will tell me everything about myself, including how many men I have married and including the one I'm living with right now. Please come and see. I have met and I have seen the Savior. So every time Jesus Christ met someone, he wanted the person to know by revelation who he was, his full glory, his mission, and his desire. The Apostle Paul, towards the very end of his ministry, would say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. Oh, the man was saying that after many years of walk with God and Christ, I do not know Christ at all. I am just beginning to know him again. Now, here is the revelation and here is the word I have brought to you. If there is anything that you want to have about Jesus Christ, is this desire to know him deeper and deeper and deeper. Know him more and more and more. Because the more you know Christ, the more he reveals himself to you, the more you grow in his power and in his glory. The more you preach about him, like the madam I just said, the more you stand for Christ and the more you stand for the gospel, and the more you are willing to die even for the gospel. Can I hear somebody say amen? Amen. Now, I'm sharing with you some of my experiences. Now, after many, many, many years work with Jesus Christ, it's only recently that I'm beginning to see more of him. Yeah. Apostle General. Planted churches. Preaching to thousands. I realized that, hey, I didn't know Jesus Christ at all. In recent times, I've been teaching and I said, when you read the Old Testament and you don't find Jesus Christ somewhere along the lines in the Old Testament, then you didn't read it properly. So these days, when I meet a Jewish man who believes only in the Old Testament, I never preach from the New Testament. I preach from him, from the Old Testament that he believes in. When I meet our people on the other side who say that Jesus Christ is a prophet, I preach from the prophetic angle that they believe in. And you know, our brothers, they don't joke with dreams. When they dream about Jesus Christ, they believe it more than when you preach. So every day I pray that God reveals himself. Jesus reveals himself to me. Can I hear somebody say amen? You never get full of Jesus. You never get satisfied. The day you get satisfied with the knowledge you have about Jesus Christ, I want you to know that your ministry is coming to an end. Your ministry is coming to an end. Pastor Eastwood and I are fathering a young man. And it's amazing. The guy pulls some crowd. And how he pulled the crowd, Pastor Eastwood and I were talking yesterday, we don't even know how. But you know what? Pastor Eastwood and I are now teaching this man who has gathered a big crowd about Jesus Christ. He's doing miracles in the name of Jesus, but didn't know Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm telling you, a lot of pastors are in the business like that. They are holding the Bible, they are talking Jesus, they are talking Christ, they are quoting scriptures, they are doing whatever, but they have no first-hand knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And today, as I'm here today, my anointing simply is anointing for revelation, that God will open your eyes, that you know whom you have believed. Can I hear somebody give me a big amen? And then, in case you forgot the opening statement, I said, when you know Jesus at first hand, you preach about him better. You understand your work with him better. And you are able to defend his name better. And you are ready to die for him. Can I hear somebody say amen? When Peter said, you are the Christ, he said, this revelation is not coming from flesh and blood. This one is coming from heaven and it's coming from God. In chapter 70 was another encounter. We call that one the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. So I'm talking, we are now in Matthew chapter number 16, where Peter is catching a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. In chapter 17, there was more revelation to come. Now Jesus had gone to the top of the mountain and he had asked Peter, James, and John to accompany him. So they sat at the foot of the mountain and Jesus climbs up to the top of the mountain. And then they were chatting. Suddenly, Peter lifted his eyes and then he called the two brothers and said, hey, watch. Jesus, was it not only one person who appeared and who climbed up? They said, yes. Now two people are there with him. Moses, we have seen Moses. And Elijah, we have seen Elijah. Whoa. His face was glittering and shining with glory. His garments spotlessly white. Then the clouds gathered over him, the heaven opened. And then they clearly heard a voice saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Around this time, Peter could not contain. Peter, who already the chapter before, had caught a glimpse of who Jesus Christ is. Thou art the Christ, son of the living God. Now screams, Master, it is good that we are here. Shall we make three tabernacles? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We want to stay in this glory. What? What a revelation. You know why Jesus gave them that as revelation? Because around this time in the ministry of Jesus, there were doubts about who Jesus Christ was. Some said he was fake. Some said he was just somebody. Some said, to the extent that the disciples themselves were beginning to lose faith. People had started making fun of them, calling them that they were following nonsense. Some of them, their wives had begun to leave them. Oh! So Jesus now must do something to arrest the situation. What do you say that I am? What do they say that I am? And what do you also say that I am? Now, furthermore, I want to show you a glimpse of what is to come. The glory that is coming. When the Son of Man appears from the cloud and is coming in his glory, I want you to see something. Come, let me show you. So he showed them a glimpse of the glorification of Christ, what we call in theology the transfiguration. The transfiguration also was a revelation of what was inside of Christ that was showing outwardly in manifestation. Around this time, you can hear that the prophecy is coming to you. There is something in you that is about to manifest on the outside. Oh, can I prophesy again? Something that is hidden in you is about to manifest on the outside. Can you clap your hands and shout, I receive it? Clap your hands and shout, I receive it. Please be seated. Kabori andele mamaya. Can I begin with the prophecy that I started with? I said, what people think about you doesn't matter. Let them say what they want to say. But what God thinks about you, the revelation that you have is what matters. It is where God is taking you is what matters. If you are the one I am talking to, clap your hands and shout, I am the one. I didn't hear you. Clap your hands again and shout, I am the one. Can you get up and go to somebody and say, I don't care what people say about me. I don't care what the opinion of people is. What Jesus thinks about me, what God thinks about me, is the most important thing. Clap your hands and shout and say, I receive it.
My God who began it.
Can you go to somebody and prophesy?
He will accomplish it.
Come on, talk to somebody and say,
My God who began it.
Say,
he will accomplish it.
He's the Alpha.
He's the Alpha and Omega.
He's the beginning.
He will accomplish my God. He will accomplish it.
He's the Alpha.
He's the Alpha and Omega.
Lift up your voice. Come on.
Beginning and the end.
Prophesy into your future. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, I can hear the pastor say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Open my eyes.
Open my eyes.
Please be seated. Please be seated. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
Chapter 16, Peter catches a revelation. It was not enough. Chapter 17, God shows him more. The end of his ministry, Apostle Paul said, I have discovered that I don't know Jesus Christ enough. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
Elijah was anointed and was powerful. There comes a time in his life, he said, God, I thought I was powerful. I thought I could call fire from heaven. But suddenly there is a witch who is threatening my life. Lord, where are the other prophets? That I am alone, I'm left fighting this battle. God said, you are not alone. There are other people there doing some things. But when you don't catch the glimpse of the glory of God, where God is taking you, when you get too satisfied in your heart as to the knowledge that you have about God, that's what comes to you. When you get to the place and you are too satisfied, you become short-sighted, your faith becomes short-sighted, everything comes to a standstill, and you begin to know and begin to cry as though you have never known God before. But God is real. He wants you to know him bigger and bigger and better. Am I talking to the pastors of the northern region? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I was very stubborn before. You read in the book, just a glimpse of the book that will be coming to you. So, I had finished University of Ghana. And just like this same season, all the young pastors, and today I'm going to tell the university students. You finish university, you don't have a work job to do. You can sit at home for so many years. Hardship, poverty. We've seen that before from 1982, 80, 81, 82 during our time. We've seen that before. So I was one of those who took the aeroplane and started running away from this country to go and look for greener pasture somewhere. So every year I take people to Israel, and the Ministry of Interior in Israel will make you deposit an amount of money so that if every member of your team returned, the money is refunded. But if one person runs away, you lose the deposit. Now, the deposit is a token sum of $14,000. Token. For those of us who come from Accra, token. This year, they have doubled it to $28,000. Why? Because one woman sent 40 Ghanaians to pilgrimage in Israel, 22 of them ran away. You say, who? More than half. Ran into the system. What job are they going to do? They are going to be maid servants, serve in people's homes. 22. So they have placed a high premium on our country as a risk country in tourism to Israel. So if tourists move from Ghana to Israel, it's a high risk venture. So instead of depositing 14,000, now you deposit 28,000. If one person gets missing, the 28,000 is gone. We were all in this situation before. So I ran away. Then I went to Holland. Then Holland, whilst I was struggling to make money, to educate myself, and to find a place. I had married this beautiful girl. At that time, we had two little kids. My son, who is at the back there, was 1 year at the time. My senior daughter, who is a lawyer now, was 3 years at the time. Then at 2 a.m. one night, I heard the knock at my door. And usually it is my landlord who will come and wake me up around that time when his rent was due. So I knew it was my landlord, an Indian man. He loved money more than his souls. I opened the door, and alas, it was not him. But someone was knocking. So I went back. I wanted to sleep. Then I heard a voice. Holy Ghost said, pray. So from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m., 3 hours, I prayed nonstop. I missed tears, crying. Now I know why I was crying. My soul was desiring something. Young, born again Christian, but I was empty. Was a desire to know more, catch more, receive more. When I finished praying, I wanted to sleep again. Then the Holy Ghost said, read the word. So I just flipped the Bible open, and then 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 was there. He that desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing. Now, the scripture hit me. You know, when the scripture comes to you like Rima, hits you, you know that it's no longer written, it's no longer logos. This is God prophetic word shooting into your spirit. You can be in a congregation, the pastor is preaching, but a line, a sentence, a statement that you make comes to you as a revelation to you in person. And I know I'm talking to somebody here right now. Hit me like that. So I said, oh, come on now. What is this? He that desires the office of a bishop. He that desires the office. So God, you want me to do your work. But you should have told me earlier. Why did you allow to come and waste my time, you know, in court here? Lord, why? I shut the Bible down. I was going to sleep again. He said, don't sleep. Open the Bible again. And then I flipped open Matthew chapter 20. And then that was a story of a manager who had hired laborers to come and work for him at various times of the day. Some 9, some 12, some 5, and some last minute. And then when it was time for payment, he paid all of them equal. And then those who came earlier began to complain. Master, why do you give us the same, you know, those who came just an hour ago? He said, no, the money is mine. I want to do what I want to do with my money. So therefore, and that came a very powerful statement from Jesus. So therefore, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. The thing hit me again. So in other words, I kept telling God, God, it's too late. It's too late. There are men of God who are doing their work in Ghana. Archbishop Duncan Williams is there. Let him do it. Otabil is there. Let him do it. They are there. They are there. Let me make money and go and support them. That was my excuse. What you think about yourself doesn't matter. What people think about you doesn't matter. Who do men say that I am, and what do you also say? What does God say about you? What does God think about you? Oh, don't forget, I have told you that as a pastor who gathers a crowd holding Bible, doing miracles, we are now teaching him the ways of Christ. We are not teaching him the ways of Christ. We are not teaching him Jesus. Oh, Kasekiria. I said, Lord, you should have told me this long ago. Why? It's too late. It's too late now. It's too late. It's too late. Oh, God is talking to somebody here. You think it's too late for you. It's never too late. This is your moment. This is your Kairos moment. This is your season. This is your season. Oh, who is this person talking? I receive it. You are too quiet. Clap your hands and say, I receive it. Bishop, so now I've had an encounter. Around this time, I had overstayed my visa. You know, when you travel out, there are two things you are ready to lose if you know you are not coming back. The first one, you don't care if you lose your visa, because the thing, you are not even coming back. So you don't care. Number two, your return ticket, you don't even care if it expires, because you know you are not coming back. And the third one, when the thing becomes, the fight becomes very strenuous and dangerous, you don't even care if you lose your passport. Because you are in the system to stay forever. Yeah. That's my mission. That's my vision. Too much hardship here. Too much poverty here. So I was running away. Hey. But I had always loved God. And everywhere I have been, I always would witness. Witness. So in the midst of my struggles, I had witnessed to a couple. They were hungry for the things of God. Hungry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I prayed with them for baptism of the Holy Spirit. They started speaking in tongues. Their marriage started changing. Their life started changing. Their family members and their friends in Holland said, but these days your language has changed. These days, Saturdays, when we are calling you, we don't find you. They say, oh, Saturdays, we are doing fellowship with a certain brother called Brother Ankara, who has come into the system. They said, who is that? They said, come to our fellowship. So they started inviting people to this fellowship in Holland every Saturday. I will teach the word, I'll preach the word, pray for them, signs and wonders, miracles happening. The man and the woman went to sleep, and they dreamt simultaneously. The man first, that he had visited Accra, Ghana, and somewhere around Nima area, had gone to the Nima market, going to look for somebody. Everybody he went looking for didn't mind him. They had glued by a a speaker, monitors, listening to somebody preaching. So he said, I'm looking for so-so. So anybody I talk to, everybody is busy listening to this preacher. Who is that preacher? They said, oh, don't you know Sam Crunchyankra is preaching? And when he's live on radio like this, that's the only voice we listen to in this city. Wow. When I was struggling in poverty, in loneliness, left my wife and my children, God was giving revelation about what he intends to do with me when in my predicament. Oh, today I'm going to bless you today before I leave you. You are about to find the glory of God in your pain and in your situation. Oh, if you say amen, I will know that you are here with me. Clap your hands and shout a big amen. Clap your hands and say, open my eyes. Please be seated. Hey, Kaboria Mele Mosaka. He woke up from the sleep. Then the wife said, I had a dream. He said, about what? He said, I just dreamed about Brother Ankara. He said, I just finished mine. What is yours? She said she had also visited Ghana. Then she had visited a family. When she went, the family had gathered, they were watching television. And somebody was preaching on the television. So they told her, sit down and then let's listen to this man. When we finish, we can talk to you. So when he sat and watched the television, he saw that it was me. But he didn't see me as a small boy that they knew. He saw magnified, glorified. Oh, somebody, you're about to be transfigured. Somebody, you are about to be magnified. I don't know who is not believing in you. I don't know who is doubting you. I don't know who says that you cannot achieve anything. Today, God is about to mark you with signs and wonders. Clap your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, I receive the oil and the anointing for signs and wonders. Clap your hands and say, signs and wonders. Shout yes. Please be seated.
You walk with the Lord.
We'll come to that song. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
If you, as a minister, if you have never come to a place where the people you are pastoring and the people you are helping don't believe in you, wait, you'll get there. That one is a sure test. The people you are ministering to, they are listening to you, but they don't believe in you. That was Jesus Christ's situation. He saw that he was losing. In fact, he had lost John the Baptist around this time. He had lost him. The John the Baptist who said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, now sends people and say, go and find out whether he's the man. Because the man I introduced, he's changed. He's this. He's not doing the thing that I expect him to. And then Jesus said, go and tell him that the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Go and tell him. He has never made a mistake. Blessed are those who are not offended in me. See, God is going to stir up the hearts of people. They will believe in your ministry. Oh, I said they will believe in your ministry. When that transfiguration comes, when that glorification comes, when that which is inside of you starts manifesting, like Jesus Christ on the mount, they'll start believing in you. They will start believing in you. So don't fight. Don't fight physically. Don't use the pulpit to go and stand there and blasting them. One of my pastors did that and he lost his congregation, moved from 70 to 10. You didn't hear me. I said his congregation moved from 70 to 10. He'll grab the microphone and start lambasting the people who don't believe in him, who have been reporting him. I had to remove him. I took somebody there. And everybody came back. They said, we want to hear the gospel. That is why we are here. We don't want to come and hear a pastor's ego and a pastor's insecurity and a pastor's anger. That's not why we are here. When they are fighting you, just wait for the timing of glorification. We call it validation. Wait for the season of validation. I was struggling, and God was stirring people's hearts to have dreams. So she saw that this is not Brother Ankara, but this is a magnified Brother Ankara. So after the show, then the people started, oh, this man, God is the hand of God is upon him. So she woke up. So simultaneously, a man and a woman have dreams. Meaning that my sojourn in Holland was over. I needed to check out. God had a plan, a higher calling, a deeper assignment. But I was short-sighted in my eyes and in my mind because I had heard people say that there was no space in Accra. God is creating space for somebody here right now. Oh, somebody is creating space for somebody here right now. And I hear somebody say, I receive it. When I got to Accra, 12 people. This is the story today. From 12. Just obedience and following the counsel and the directions of God for your life. Obedience. That's it. That's it. That's the word. When you read my book, that's the one word that I will impart with you. Obedience. Obedience. Let me wrap up quickly. And I'm wrapping up with prophecies. Now, when you look at chapter 16 and verse number 17. And then Jesus answered unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood did not reveal. My Father which is in heaven. My Father which is in heaven. My Father which is in heaven. The revelation of Jesus Christ and the fullness of his glory in you does not come by the arm of flesh or by the dictates of your mind or by what you hear, but it's by your connection and your heart to God. Flesh and blood have nothing to do with this. This is a spiritual matter. So number one, the revelation of Jesus does not come by the flesh and the blood. It comes by the Heavenly Father. God must reveal Christ. God must reveal him. God must reveal him to you. God must reveal him. God must reveal. And so as a man of God, as a pastor, every day your prayer is, God, I want to know more about Jesus. I want to see more of him. More, 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 more. Bishop, I will not lie to you. God is in this temple. The altar of God is here. Anytime I have all night, personal all night, I do personal all night. I spend about 3 hours praying on this one subject. God, I want to know you. Last year, I didn't preach my Easter sermon, the resurrection. I didn't preach from the New Testament. I preached my resurrection from Genesis chapter 45. Resurrection. People call me and said, the whole resurrection story is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They didn't know that when you start growing in the things of God, God opens your eyes to see what is hidden to others. Genesis 45, That's why I saw resurrection. So when I meet people who don't believe in the New Testament, I don't even bother them. Oh, so Old Testament, okay, let's go. Clap your hands and shout in the name of Jesus. Be serious. Clap your hands and shout in the name of Jesus. As I clap my hands, I kill the spirit of the flesh. Flesh, die. Holy Ghost, arise. Lord, revelation. Give me revelation. Shout yes. Number two. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the more you have revelation knowledge of him, the more powerful you become. Look at verse number 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The more you know Jesus, the more you have knowledge of him, the more you take on the battles and defeat the powers of darkness, principalities, and the gates of hell. Tamale, nothing reaching. I have come here as a prophet with the word of God. In the beginning of this year, our security agencies spread news all over the place that there are terrorists that are gathering from the country up there, and then their plan is to start invading our nation through the north. And that they have started recruiting certain people and so on, giving them money, and churches were going to be attacked and so on. We started prayer and fastings and so on and so forth. Thank God we have prayed for you enough. Now I am here to let the devil know that they cannot enter into our country. Oh, clap your hands and shout yes. Clap your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, we shut every door. We shut every door for any evil. Clap your hands and say, you will not enter. Say, the church will be preserved. The souls will be preserved. And the gospel will be preached. In this land. Clap your hands and shout and say, in this land. Hallelujah. We sprinkle the blood at the borders of Ghana. And where they are planning to enter, they will not succeed. Because upon this revelation that you have about Jesus, I will build my... And the gates of hell shall not prevail. The battle is not between you and them. The battle is between the revelation of Christ and the powers. The more you know about Jesus, the stronger you become and the powerful you become. Believe me. When my knowledge of Christ isn't to this current level, I will do deliverance for a person sometimes lasting 3 hours. As I grew in the knowledge of the things of God, I have discovered that I don't spend much time in dealing with evil situations. Few minutes, and the demons just bow. And then they go. And the people are free. So I started wondering, how come that a man can open his mouth and say, there shall be no rain except by my word? You know, in those days, in our holier days, we say that he's a very proud man. How dare you talk like God? No. But the more you know God and the more you know Christ, the more he elevates you to his level so you can speak on his behalf. You can declare things on behalf of God when you get to a certain level. And that is where God is bringing you. God is bringing you to the place and is making you the gatekeeper. So when you say no terror, no terror. When you say no death, it shall be no death. When you say poverty, get out. Poverty must go. May demons bow to the authority that is in you. Clap your hands and shout, yes. Am I blessing somebody here today? Also, for the thing is true. Another, please be seated. Another king was crying like a baby. Hey, this Assyrian king, he wants to look for my trouble now. He wants to look for my trouble now. Who told him that I heal lepers here? Who told him? Now he has brought Naaman, his captain. He said I should heal him. Ay, 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 ay. And then somebody went and told Elisha that the king is crying because Naaman has been brought by the king of Assyria that he must cleanse him of his leprosy. Then he said, tell him he should stop crying. They should bring him to me so that Assyria will know that there is a prophet in. Receive the knowledge and the power. You must grow in your relationship of the things of God. One of my pastors came to me, said he wanted to ask me a question. It's called Walanyo Agbo Bogas. My pastor has sphincters. His question is, I just finished, my wife and I, we had just finished 3 days of revival for his church. So he follows up. Apostle General, I noticed that these 3 days that you were in my church, you are operating in some another level. The revelations that you are now teaching about Christ and the word of God, it's not as I know you. Is there any book you are reading that you want to recommend? I said, no. Is there any juju you have got? I don't know. I said, oh, no, I don't have any juju. Apostle General, so what is your secret? So I said, the more you walk with God, and the more you are faithful to your call and to your calling. Remember, the more you walk with God and the more you are faithful, he commutes the longevity of the relationship with him into anointing and into wisdom. Can I say that again? The more and the longer you walk with God and the more you become faithful, the longevity of your relationship with him is commuted to anointing and wisdom. So, if you used to be praying 3 hours to deal with one demon, as a result of your relationship with God and the knowledge you have acquired, you now start dealing with demonic situations over 15 minutes, 10 minutes. Because he has commuted the relationship with you into anointing. The expositions and the revelations you have about John chapter 3 verse 16, 20 years ago, when you pick that same scripture after 20 years, as a result of your long walk and your faithfulness, the wisdom is different. And I noticed this. I don't know about you, but I never change Resurrection Sunday. I don't change my sermon. Resurrection Sunday. How can you come in Resurrection Sunday? You're coming to teach about tithes and offering. Are you a fool? Resurrection Sunday. People are put on white. They have come to church with white handkerchief. And said, today, I'm going to speak about the power over witches. Oh, you are not an intelligent pastor. It's resurrection. Your sermon must hang around resurrection. So that means that as long as you are passing that church for 30 years, you are going to be preaching on resurrection for the next 30 years. But remember, the resurrection message must not be the same year after year. And if you go and sample my resurrection messages in the last 20 years, you will find out that every year they look different. Every year they look different. Every year it comes with new revelation. Why? because of your longevity of relationship with him and your faithfulness with him, he now gives and increases your wisdom and the grace of God. I can stop here. You want to be powerful? It's revelation. It's knowledge. The more you know Jesus Christ, the stronger you become, the powerful you become. And then the last verse sums it up for me. It says, I will then give you the keys of heaven, so that whatsoever you bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven. The key. What's the key? Authority. Secret. Revelation. I'll give you the key. Where is the key coming from? The key is coming from the revelation that you catch about Jesus Christ. The more knowledge you have, the stronger your key. The stronger your authority.
Holy Word, long preserved for our walk in this world.
It is our fervent prayer that this message will have an effect on your life and will lead you to the place where you belong. Royal House Chapel International, touching our generation with the power of God. God richly bless you.
Ancient words will guide us.